Welcome to Pardon My French,
the podcast that teaches you French in a fun and casual way.
My name is Tom.
And my name is James.
Enjoy the show. When you said you had an idea to open the show, I thought it might be good, but you know, I guess that's all right.
It's original.
Not at all.
Oh, yeah. All right. It's copyright. Shut up.
It's your own rendition.
So, guys, welcome to today's episode. Episode 6 is about movies and film. We're doing half of the media section.
Possibly not half, possibly less than half.
Less than half, but more than a third, yeah. I'd say.
Yeah.
I'd say the amount of space in media that films occupy in the world, in the Western world particularly, is significante.
Oh,
that's not French. That's just me being silly.
Yeah, that's quite misleading on a podcast that supposedly teaches people French. We've had many complaints on this podcast that this podcast does not have enough French in it.
It's been called semi-educational.
Yeah, we've actually had some good comments about it being educational for some people. So
yeah,
we're hoping it is educational for everyone who's listening.
So for those of you out there who don't know me and Tom personally. We are big film fanatics.
Yeah.
Have you watched any films recently?
Well, we watched a film recently.
Oh, yeah, we did.
We went to the cinema to see Django Unchained.
Django Unchained.
You know, from Quentin Tarantino.
So that's the new film he's released, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that was widely anticipated by the whole of the world, and it did not...
disappoint.
That's the word I was looking for. Just to let everyone know, we're recording this quite late in the day, and... suffering from fatigue.
We've got our inside voices on tonight.
We're trying.
Instead of the usual glass of wine, we have a nice cup of tea.
Mm, I take mine without milk.
I take mine con leche. I mean, avec lait.
Why are we doing...
I don't know.
What's so, without milk?
Sans lait.
Sans lait.
Or just... you would normally, in French, you would just say thé noir.
Oh, black tea.
Yeah, black tea. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So,
back to movies.
So, yeah, so Django Unchained. So, we won't give this story away too much, but it basically kind of follows one man on his quest.
Well, two men.
Two men, yeah, on their quest to kind of hunt down a lost love. I think that's a fair...
Yeah, a stolen love, maybe.
A stolen love, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
let's not go into it too much. Just say that it's... absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. So, okay, so maybe to start with, we could think of different ways we can say if something is good in French. So the obvious one is...
bon.
Bon, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you say it twice, then it means sweets in French.
Just, bonbon.
Bonbon, yeah.
Does that mean they're good?
Yeah, we have them in English, don't we?
Yeah, you normally get them like...
They're lemon bonbons.
Yeah, but they're normally from like Tesco or Asda or Sainsbury's, and they're like own brand.
Packet
own brand bonbons.
Yeah, and they kind of leave a layer of grease on your upper mouth.
Or like burn a hole into your tongue or something awful.
Yeah, I don't really like that.
No.
But so that word that we have in the English comes from the French. It just means kind of sweets, kind of candy, what you might call. So that's bonbon. Mm. Yeah, okay. So another way of saying if you saw a film and you sort of thought it was great... You could say something is génial.
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 Yeah. And that just means great, you know, really, really good, really nice. Yeah.
Which Django Unchained was.
Yeah, it was really good. Another one that we have in English, you could say incroyable.
Incroyable.
Incroyable, yeah. Which kind of literally translates to unbelievable.
Okay.
You know?
It sounds like incredible.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It sounds like incredible, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
The word incredible and incroyable are very closely...
Yeah.
Closely knit.
Mm. You can hear the similarities.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah. So, so there's some ways of describing it, and I would certainly say all three of them apply for Django Unchained.
Yeah.
Which was a tour de force.
Ooh. We should probably just rename this the Django Unchained podcast.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Pardon my Django.
Pardon my Django. Bottom of my jangling of my chains.
Oh, the D is silent.
Yeah. So let's try and move away from Django Unchained.
Okay.
Just see it if you haven't yet.
Yeah. go and spend your money on the cinema industry and, you know, support your, you know, filmmakers of the world.
Yeah. Not that they need that much support sometimes. I don't think Tarantino needs much.
Some of them are quite rich. What do you think about the recent purchase of the Star Wars saga by Mickey Mouse and his cronies?
It's good.
I think there's probably a lot of people out there who are quite
probably
angry
hate
by
it because they don't want Star Wars to be ruined. But Disney's going to obviously make some new movies. I think they've said they're going to make a new trilogy.
Yeah,
which I am eagerly anticipating.
I'm anticipating too as well. I just don't quite understand where they're going to slot that in. You know,
what do you mean?
Is it going to be kind of a reconciled Vader and...
Doesn't matter. They've got all the rights that they could do whatever they liked.
That's true, but
they could kill off every character and rewrite new ones and it'd still be Star Wars and it'd still be...
They could call it Star Wars 4, or whatever, Star Wars 8.
That was the first one.
What, Star Wars 9?
No, it would be Star Wars 7.
Star Wars 7?
Or Star Wars negative 1.
Shut up! Okay, they could call it that, and then they could just make another Toy Story. It could just be Pixar. You know, but they could just call it Star Wars.
But they have it all as like animated character, like toys.
It could be the life of Buzz Lightyear before he crash landed on Earth,
which was part of Star. They would blatantly get a little Buzz Lightyear
quest
reference
against
in there.
Emperor Zork.
But is Toy Story Disney? I thought it was just Pixar.
No, it's Disney Pixar.
Sure,
I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
all right.
I was in Disneyland Paris. A couple of years ago with my older brother, we were there. And, you know, we were there, we were both kind of, we were both in our 20s, and we were just like running past kids to get on the rides because we were just so excited to see like Mr. Woody. Well, he's just Woody, isn't he?
He's not Mr. Woody. That's so bad.
Sound like a foreign exchange student getting someone's name wrong. Mr. James. Yeah, and so we were just so excited to be there, and you know, I'm sorry, and if anyone disagrees with me, then please email in, and we'll swiftly delete the email. But I think once Disney is embedded in your brain as a child, it never will leave you.
Yeah, well, I've never been to Disney, but I would love to. The closest I've got is a Disney store in New York.
Oh yeah,
which compared to Disney stores in England is like being in what I imagine a Disneyland or Disney World to be like.
Yeah, oh God, it's... I used to love Disney stores, yeah, just...
I bought a collar for my dog. It's about the only good thing I bought.
Did it say Pluto on it?
It was red and black, it had little Mickey Mouse logos on it.
Oh, nice. Oh, that sounds...
She still wears it.
Sounds pretty cute, yeah.
Mm, it's nice.
Yeah, so, okay, so Toy Story, let's think. So, let's break down those words. So, story... In French, I think we've already done it in one of the podcasts, is the word is histoire.
Histoire,
yeah.
Like the history.
So like the history of something, yeah. And a toy is just jouet.
Like a play thing?
Yeah, it's kind of like that, yeah. And it's spelled J-O-U-E-T.
Okay.
So that's another film, E.T.
Ooh.
But we'll come back to that, maybe.
Fun home.
What's that you want from Yorkshire?
Fun home, lad.
I would for a man, but I've run out of credit on my mobile.
Fingers too big to dial.
I need some kind of dialing wand, some kind of stylus. Why did I buy this BlackBerry on my home planet? It's rubbish. I can't get signal here. Signal here back on Earth. Can I borrow your phone?
It's not VT jokes.
Yeah, I know. Okay, what about The Lion King? You know, in French?
No, not at all.
So The Lion King in French is le roi de Lyon.
So that's the king of...
Oh, it's just le roi Lyon.
Le roi?
Le roi with an R. Roi.
Roi.
Lyon. And roi means king, of course. And that's where we get the word royal.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it's like roi and then royal. So royal is something to do with the king.
Yeah, obviously.
But of course that now means king and queen. So yeah, it's quite interesting.
You never call a lion the queen of the jungle, though. That has different implications.
No, yeah, it would sound a bit...
Always the queen of the jungle.
Yeah, yeah, kind of Wham-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah, but well, no, the word for queen, in French is la reine.
La reine?
La reine, yeah.
Like to reign?
Yeah, like the reign of someone on the throne. Yeah, and throne in French is trône.
Trône.
So, okay, so a lot of these words that to do with the monarchy, which is monarchie.
Yeah? They're all the same.
They're all very similar, yeah. Which probably is an indication as to how a lot of these words came into our language through invasion and through the overtaking of certain sections of our language by different cultures. Kind of interesting, huh?
It is.
Yeah. So, okay, so let's just tick off a few like basics. So if you want to say film in French, it's just film.
Just film.
Yeah.
With that accent as well.
Just, I mean, I think the way America and England and, kind of English-speaking countries have overtaken the film industry, they've kind of left the world just anglicising a lot of words to do with the film industry. Blockbuster, for example, is just the same.
Blockbuster.
Yeah. And if you go to the cinema in French, you'd buy popcorn.
Popcorn.
Yeah, it's like they couldn't think of any snacks. I mean, you don't go to the French cinema and, you know, get a crepe.
Ooh,
you might do.
Maybe. It's not. You don't want something that messy in a cinema, though.
No.
Do you know what I saw once? I was at the cinema.
What did you see?
I can't remember what film it was, but the thing that I took away from this experience was I sat next to a girl.
Obviously, a bad film.
Probably.
Speed 2.
No.
Sandra Bullock's.
Let me get on the story. We were halfway through the movie, and she was rustling around in her bag, which got my attention. So I was looking over. She whipped out a mango and a knife and started, like, carving up this mango.
Okay.
Like, that's the worst cinema food I could think of.
You weren't watching, like, Tom Hanks's Castaway, were you, or something?
No.
Or Leonardo DiCaprio's
The Beach? Probably something like,
you know?
It was probably something with Mark Wahlberg in.
Oh.
But it wasn't.
If I was going to see Mark Wahlberg, I'd probably take walnuts.
That's a
whenever I go to see a film, I take food that sounds like the main actors.
What do you go when you see Brad Pitt?
Just
pitted dates.
Yeah, pitted dates. Yeah, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, take some capers.
I think we could take a Capri Sun. what's your favorite kit? Your favorite film from your ute? From your youth?
From my youth. From my jeunesse.
Your jeunesse?
My jeunesse. My youth. One of my favourite films from my youth, I've got to be honest, is a Disney film, but a slightly unknown Disney film. I think a lot of people probably haven't even heard of it. It's called Basil the Great Mouse Detective. It is an absolutely fantastic film. C'est génial.
Oh, wow.
It's formidable. That's another one.
Very
formidable.
Similar. Yeah.
You know?
It's one I've also seen, but I probably only saw it once or twice, so I haven't got this like love affair that you have with
Basil. Oh my God.
Basil.
It's absolutely incredible. For listeners out there, if you want a kind of a film education, effectively, then you have to see this film. Because it's
If you see one film,
it's breathtaking.
In your lifetime.
This
see
is the one
Basil
to see.
The Great Mouse Detective. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, effectively, it's
don't give away the plot.
Okay, fine. It's Disney's take on Sherlock Holmes, and and so it's basically a small mouse wearing like a Sherlock Holmesy esque hat.
What is that
and
called?
With a little
a deerstalker.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and a little kind of chubby mouse counterpart, and yeah, they get into some capers again. Not the fish.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great. It's really, really good.
Is a caper a fish?
I think so, yeah.
I thought it was like a little ball.
I think they're little fish that you have on...
I thought that's an anchovy.
Pizzas.
I thought a caper was like a salty ball. I don't know what it is.
A salty ball.
We'll find that one out.
Yeah.
One can come back to.
If you know that, guys, then please email in to pardonmyfrenchpodcast@gmail.com. Okay. Yeah.
And sorry for James reading the email out wrong last week when he said pardonmyfrench.podcast.
Minus plus.
It wasn't even a joke. He genuinely had forgotten how email addresses work.
Sometimes I forget how to use words properly. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, it's very true, very true. So, okay, so we've got a film. That was just un film. But we have to make sure we don't confuse the word film like a movie with the word film like, say, a thin film of oil.
Okay, like a skin that you get on custard.
Yeah, exactly. Like a little skin, or, for example, in science, sometimes you have a thin film of a certain substance, you know, to examine it, whatever.
Yeah.
In that case, then we would call that kind of film, it's une pellicule.
Une pellicule?
Pellicule, yeah.
Pellicule.
Okay, and that basically is indicating more closely a kind of, yeah, it's more a reference to a thin strip of something, mm-hmm. or a thin layer. Okay, in fact, in Spanish, you would say a película. For a film like a movie,
okay.
So you see how there's lots of overlap, yeah. with this word, but a nice little mnemonic I thought of for this word for une pellicule is I've even drawn a little sketch. Can you describe this kind of a sketch that I've drawn?
The sketch is of what looks like a duck with a large beak and sunglasses, but I'm assuming it's meant to be a pelican.
Yes, exactly. And why is he wearing sunglasses?
Because he's cool.
Because he's cool as a dude.
Cool as duck.
Cool as duck, yeah. In fact, he's cool as a cucumber. And cucumber in French is concombre.
Concombre.
Concombre, yeah, exactly.
Nice word.
It's nice, huh? So that's a little mnemonic. Just imagine a little pelican wearing some shades. He's pelly cool.
He's pelly cool,
man.
He's daddy cool.
Yeah, so. So, Tom, tell me more about your film upbringing. When did you first get hooked on movies?
The first movie I ever saw at the cinema was The Jungle Book.
Ah, yes.
And I was I think my dad took me one Saturday morning or something. And I still remember it. And I still have, like, I don't know if this is a thing that used to happen, but like a program. You know when you go to the football and you get like a program,
yes,
that now costs the earth, that used to be affordable. But I have like the program from the movie. I imagine it was just something that was on the side when I went. And yeah. I still have it from when I was like, I can't remember, 5, 6?
You should frame that. Sell it.
It's in a box somewhere. I know I own it, but I won't throw it away. I haven't got a clue where it is.
Either sell it for a lot of money or keep it for the emotional value.
But in my family, my little brother and little sister, we'd watch the same movie over and over again, which I think was quite common.
Yeah.
You'd record it off television, or you'd rent it from Blockbuster, or you'd have it bought for you, and you'd watch it over and over.
Yeah,
and
we'd
over
do the same thing.
And over.
Even this Christmas, off my sister, I got a DVD of The Muppets Christmas Carol.
Good movie.
Yeah, it's an absolutely incredible movie. We were just reminiscing when I was Skyping them a few weeks ago. We were reminiscing the moment in which, in one of the songs, they rhyme the word cheeses with Mises.
Mises?
Instead of mice. Yeah, it's pretty classic.
Classic bit of a
classic moment of cinematography.
Yeah. I also remember watching a lot of like family movies rather than animated movies, more like Home Alone.
Yes.
Ghostbusters.
Great.
Things like Drop Dead Fred.
Don't think I've seen that one.
Rick Mayall is like an imaginary friend.
Okay.
And it is amazing.
Sounds a bit, if of all the Hollywood actors to have as my imaginary friend, I think I wouldn't put Rick Mayall at the top.
He's a complete fool.
I find him a bit creepy as a
He was very creepy.
As a kind of an imaginary ghost counterpart.
It was quite scary at times.
I think if I had a ghost counterpart or kind of imaginary celebrity, I don't know, I'd probably go for someone like Morgan Freeman or someone very reassuring.
Someone who could narrate your life.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd go for, I don't know, Ricky Gervais. Just pure comedy.
He'd just be ragging your life all the time, though, wouldn't he?
I wouldn't mind. It'd be all right.
Yeah, right.
Like, shut up, you're not real.
So you were into a lot of family movies, yeah? Mm. Yeah, me too. I like them ones as well.
I like that bit in Home Alone 2 when he gets bricks thrown on his face. Which in a lot of the versions they show on TV, they cut it out.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, because it's quite brutal. Some kid hurling bricks at people.
I never understood how the villains didn't die very, very painful deaths.
He didn't, like, shoot them or stab them. He'd, like, set them on fire a bit, electrocuted them.
Yeah.
Nail through the foot.
Nail through the foot.
Tin can in the face, like a paint can.
Yeah. I think at one point they receive a large blow to the head via a log swinging down from a stairwell.
Yeah, that's like the that's in Home Alone 2. Because in the first one, he just does two paint cans and smash them.
Yeah, you're right.
Then in the second one, he does it again. They're like, oh, we know what's happened. They miss it. Then he throws like a big metal bar.
Like a very heavy cast iron metal bar. Yeah.
I don't know how we put that up.
And I'm pretty sure at the end of Home Alone 2, they actually fall from a burning rope or something onto kind of basically concrete a metal bin.
They fall through like wood that's been set up, and there's loads of paint on it as well, and they fall through the wood, then hit the concrete, and all the paint goes off, and then hits them again.
Well, I'm not a medical profession, but I'm pretty sure...
You're not a medical profession.
I'm not a medical profession. All. See, my words failed me.
It's nobody's business what your job is.
No. But I'm pretty sure that kind of, you know, infliction of pain would definitely kill a person. Yeah. So that's my only criticism of Home Alone.
That wouldn't be
alone.
A child's movie. It wouldn't be a family movie if he killed two men.
Well, I think children like realistic scenarios. So just putting that to Macaulay Culkin. And then think about what you've done.
Then he's in like some sort
and
of...
Please reflect on it.
Delinquent unit. And that's what Home Alone is.
Yeah. So he actually, you know, he sued his parents.
Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah.
Mac, as he's known now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Hmm. So he was a famous child actor, wasn't he?
Gone Bad.
Gone Bad, yeah.
He's got other siblings, isn't he?
A bad boy.
Siblings that are good actors.
But no one cares about them.
Not really, because they weren't in Home Alone. Actually, one of his siblings, you know, in Home Alone 1, and maybe 2, you know the one that wets the bed?
No, but
he's got the big glasses on. I can't remember what they call him. But he's like the geek that like drinks all the Pepsi and Coke or something. That's actually his brother.
Right.
Little fact.
Sounds a bit like you.
Maybe.
So yeah, you could call him in French un acteur.
Un acteur.
Yeah, so that's an actor. Again, we have a lot of similarities with the English version. But perhaps in this case, it was the other way around. Perhaps the word acteur first appeared in French. Now, I'm saying this because, as with many professions in English, we have a difference between a male and female actor, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
So we have an actor and an actress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we see this in a lot of French professions. So in French, you have an acteur and une actrice.
Une actrice.
Okay, and I don't know about you. I think actrice sounds quite a lot like actress.
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah, so...
Lots of people now, though, it seems they don't want to be called... They don't want to have a distinction between actor and actress in English.
Yeah.
They're all actors.
Yeah, I personally think it's easier... And sometimes it's good to differentiate between the roles. Sometimes the gender is important for some professions. But, yeah, I think most of the time, if you have one word for it, then it kind of almost creates an equality, doesn't it?
It would. Some sentences would sound weird. Like, you know the actor that plays the Bond girl?
Yeah.
That would sound a bit weird.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there.
But
unless they just had a lot of makeup.
Yeah, it hasn't become commonplace yet.
No, not really, no. No. So, so when you go to the cinema, you could say, je vais au cinéma.
Je vais au cinéma.
Yeah, je vais is I go. I'm going. And au cinéma. So we've seen the au before. That's the masculine version of a. Mm. So, je vais au cinéma. So that's quite simple.
Mm.
And we would normally say to watch a film is regarder un film. Okay. However, there's another word, another verb that relates to the eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
You think what it could be?
No.
Okay. All right. it sounds a bit like an ocean.
Sea.
Correct.
That's what we use.
That's the word I was looking for. Well done, Thomas. And and the word, the verb see in French is voir.
I like voyeuristic.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in fact, yeah, the word voyeur.
Yeah,
comes from French, yeah, voyeurism. There's an interesting little bit here because if you conjugate the verb voir, you know what conjugate is?
I couldn't explain it.
Okay. Okay, so I'll try to. It's the word voir is the infinitive verb.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you'd find in the dictionary. And then when you want to apply that to to a particular person, so I, you, we, then you have to conjugate it, you have to change the form of it slightly. Okay? And in the you, singular and kind of...
plural?
No, informal. Yeah. Informal way. For voir, you would say tu vois.
Tu vois.
Okay, which means you see.
You see.
Yeah, okay. And this expression is used very, very frequently. I mean, if you went to a party in France, or if you just lived there, you're going to notice that especially young people, when they speak, use tu vois very, very frequently in conversation. It's in some ways it's a bit like how we might say like,
right,
as a filler word.
Like,
or it's a bit like how we might say, you know what I mean? Or, you see what I mean?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You get me?
Like, yeah. You see?
You yeah, see what I'm saying? Basically, you see. And so, yeah, so basically, you'll hear people saying something in French and they'll go, tu vois? Da-da-da-da-da, tu vois?
Okay.
Like that. Okay, so it's a very, very common expression that you'll hear. And that's to do with vision. So last time we were talking about how Amélie, the film Amélie Poulain, had an amazing soundtrack.
Yeah.
You know, do you agree with that?
Yep, Jan Tiersen, is it?
Yeah, Jan Tiersen, yeah. Absolutely mind-blowingly good music. And so, yeah, I wanted to talk about music in films, if you want to talk about that as well.
I'll talk about that with you.
Let's converse, let's converse.
I'll let you have that one.
So a soundtrack in French is... une bande originale. Le bande is just referring to, yeah, a kind of, I guess, a kind of a track.
Yeah.
Like it. And originale, I guess, is just the, like you might say, an original motion picture.
Yeah.
So it's just the original music for the film.
Yeah.
And this can actually be abbreviated to a BO or BO.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, that relates to the soundtrack.
Well, like, going back, I said I wouldn't, but Django Unchained and all Quentin Tarantino movies as known for their cinematography as they are for their music most of the time.
Yeah, I think the films are so good. Yeah, like you say, for both things, but the music is always flawless, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I often find that, yeah, some of my favourite, almost all of my favourite films have really, really powerful soundtracks.
Mm.
And sometimes a shoddy film, you listen to the soundtrack afterwards and you're like, that is crap. That is really
it is useless.
Yeah.
It can really let a film down, though, can't it? If you have the wrong music or no music or...
Yeah, definitely, yeah. One of my favourite film score writers is James Horner.
Yeah.
You ever heard of him?
No.
Well, this is the thing. He's
probably
one of the,
heard his music.
He's one of the unsung heroes of Hollywood. Mm. He did the music for Braveheart.
Yeah.
Titanic. Apollo 13 and Avatar more recently.
Yeah?
Yeah, and yeah, he's one of my heroes. Yeah, he's an absolute genius.
The only one I know is Danny Elfman?
Danny Elfman, yeah.
Danny Elfman's like on every movie.
What does he do? The Simpsons?
I don't know. It seems like he did like every movie. I'm sure it was him.
Under the Sun.
Yeah, definitely.
Sounds interesting. Well, speaking of all movies under the sun, under the French sun, yeah, I've got a little list here of French movies. If you're listening to this podcast and you're interested in checking out a few kind of good films that are French speaking and maybe that hold some kind of place in French culture, then yeah, I've got a little list of them here. So, okay, you want to have a look at this, Tom?
Okay.
So, what's the first one there?
I can't read that.
Okay. So the first one I wrote down was Les Choristes. Which is a really really nice story about a kind of a little choir that forms, and it's kind of set in wartime France.
Yeah,
and it's very very moving and everything like that. It's a very very well known and very good film to watch.
So it's just tips for people to like watch a good French movie, put some English subtitles on,
and try and
soak in the language.
Yeah, for me personally, yeah, when I was learning French, I would every couple of weeks, every 15 jours, I would try and rent out a film from a local language centre and watch it either with English or French subtitles.
Yeah?
Yeah, because watching in French is useful too, yeah. So another one I wrote down here is la haine.
La haine?
Yeah, which is actually, it's la and then it's H-A-I-N-E. So it's hen, but it's a silent H, so yeah. La haine. And that actually means the hatred.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it stars Vincent Cassel, a very famous French actor.
Rings a bell.
Yeah, it should do. You'd recognise his face.
Yeah.
And that's basically set in the like the French suburbs, like you know, really very very urban, urban representation of of the kind of gangster lifestyle. You know, got a few others. One of my favourite films that I saw is by a guy called Luc Besson.
Mm-hmm.
And he's made films like The Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Leon.
Great film.
Yeah, about the...
The hitman.
About the hitman. Who pretty good.
Befriends a young child after her parents are murdered.
Yeah, a bit weird.
Not really.
Well, it's Natalie Portman, isn't it? So
she's still a child.
He knew where she was going then. and Taken as well, he also did.
And Taken 2?
He did do Taken 2, unfortunately, yeah.
I haven't heard good things.
Ooh, no, actually, I was just having a conversation about that, and apparently it's pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, so yeah, and the final one on my list is a film called La Môme.
La Môme.
So you probably wouldn't recognise that if you heard that in French.
No.
Sorry, in English. But the English version of this film was called La Vie en Rose. So okay. Does that give you a clue?
Say it again.
La Vie en Rose.
Something about pink or...
Well, you're kind of on the right lines.
Life? I don't know.
Well...
I've got no idea.
The literal translation of La Vie en Rose means the life in pink.
The life in pink.
But what it means figuratively is like a... You know, rose, like seeing things through rose-tinted glasses. So
okay, yeah.
The good life kind of thing. Oh. And this film is actually the film about the life of Edith Piaf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the singer. So the French version of this film is La Môme, which was actually her nickname, her French nickname.
Okay.
Back in the day when she was, you know, big. Not fat.
But,
you know, just
big,
you know,
in the game.
Yeah, famous, yeah. And and La Môme in French means sparrow, or in her sense is like a little sparrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very endearing word, really. Mm-hmm. Name for her, nickname. Interestingly, actually, the word nickname in French is surnom.
Surnom?
Yeah, which sounds a bit like surname,
yeah.
Doesn't it? But I don't know if you've ever found this confusing, if you've ever been... filling out a form or something in a French-speaking country,
yeah.
And you see the word nom,
and that means,
and you write down your full name,
yeah,
or at least your first name,
and then you see
prénom.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a little bit of confusion there. That's what you might call a faux ami, which
I remember one of them.
Remember what it is?
No, because it was that the first episode.
Yeah, yeah.
It was fake friend.
A false friend,
yeah.
So you've got nom is your surname.
Yeah.
Prénom is your first name,
yeah,
and surnom is your nickname.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a nickname?
Not one that I'd like to call myself. I might have one that people
call
me.
I have a few for you. I haven't actually told you them.
Go on.
Things like, I don't know, chubby cheeks.
Well.
Big nose.
Just to let everyone know, a little update. I'm a little slimmer. I know it's only been a week, but I'm a little slimmer.
I'm not going to lie. I probably wasn't going to bring those nicknames up because I did actually notice that.
Thanks so much. Hit the gym, guys. So
I heard you in the gym the other day.
Yeah. Grunting.
Yeah, grunting, snorting.
Ugh.
I think at that point you were actually taking a break and you were
just
like noshing down on a packet of Butterkiss. A bit of popcorn.
Yeah, maybe.
Hobnobs, what are they? Chocolate coated.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. I've got some other films, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Great French film, Ratatouille.
Of course, yeah.
Watch that one. That's a good one.
What was Little Remy?
Yeah, another one that I quite liked. I think it's French, obviously. Bellevue Rendezvous, the one about the cycling.
Ah, I don't think I've seen that one.
Really good.
Yeah?
And another one, District 13.
Okay.
Or I think it's called Bagnel.
In what, in the French version?
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be right. I'm not sure
because I only have seen the English version, but I think I've seen it advertised as Banyul or something.
Mm-hmm.
It means like area or district. It was when it's about a city future. Paris is like divided into bits and they want to destroy a bit.
Oh, really?
But yeah, it's a good film. It's all about parkour, really.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah, you know,
it's not cultural like yours.
Well, no, that's cool. No, but I mean, all these modern films that are coming out now, that they have their place in modern culture. You know? Mm. One day they will be the past. Very deep, that, isn't it?
Mm. Look at that.
Hey,
it'll just be history.
Check that out.
It'll just be
check me out with my philosophy.
Not really.
No.
Carry on.
Well, the word parkour, which you brought before, is kind of like free running, isn't it?
We could get into this and I would debate it for a while.
Okay,
but.
Yeah. So it's kind of like running about cities, like jumping on stuff. Well, more or less.
It's more about from getting from one place A to place B in the quickest way possible.
So it's kind of like finding a route.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that because in French, the word for a route is a parcours.
A route in what sense?
As in a route from A to B.
So your route from your house to work would be...
Yeah, it'd be called parcours.
Okay.
Yeah, for example, when I ran the Paris Marathon a couple of years ago, no need for that. Okay, you can do a bit more actually. Okay, no need for that. I would look online and I was looking for the parcours du marathon.
Okay.
Okay, and that was the route of the marathon. So, yeah. So the word parcours, which we now spell with a K, am I right? Well,
it's
like P-A-R-K.
Park hour, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. It comes from the French word meaning a route.
Yeah.
Yeah, parcours.
So it makes sense for it to be the direct place from A to B.
Yeah.
Which is why it's different to free running.
Yeah, yeah.
Because free running throws in backflips and stuff like that, which is unnecessary if you're trying to get from A to B.
Surplus energy, isn't it, really? Mm. Surplus activity.
It's just showing off.
Yeah.
If I could do it, though, I would be doing it all the time.
But it should involve a lot of running because the word parcours... Again, is a conjugation of the verb parcourir, which kind of means to cover ground, to travel a bit of a distance. And if you look at the word parcourir in French, if you break it kind of in half, if you cut it in half, you've got the word par, which is a kind of means by or over, and courir actually is the verb which means to run.
Okay.
Okay. And so what you're getting here is that the verb is kind of
It's kind of
a construction of by running over,
and that
equals the verb to cover distance.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So interestingly, the word parkour, or the English parkour, running around the city, has the word running within it.
Oh, that's clever.
So it's quite interesting, huh?
So it makes sense. Parkour's meaning makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah, exactly.
When you take it from the French rather than just... Yeah. Some English word that people think means backflip and off stuff.
Exactly, yeah. I'd like to say that free running comes from the French, but it doesn't.
They probably are the best at it.
Yeah.
Sebastian Foucault and David Bell and people. Yeah. They're the best.
There's that Spider-Man guy who climbs up buildings. He's French.
Yeah. He's got he has a climbing wall in his house. Like, he like climbs over his bed.
Like an actual spider climbs over my bed when I'm sleeping.
But he's so strong. It's unbelievable.
Do you think his wife tries to bat him down with a kind of slipper?
Maybe.
And then catch him in a
glass.
Cup. And a huge sheet of cardboard and slips it underneath and then tosses him out of the window. Probably not. No.
Probably not.
He'd climb back in anyway.
Yeah. She's married to him.
Yeah.
Caught up in his web of lies.
That's true. She'd probably sweep him away with like a broom or something. Yeah.
Like if he was talking of sweeping away though.
Oh yeah?
You know I'm trying to get fitter.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know.
I do know that very well.
But.
It's a very touchy subject, isn't it?
We were looking into it, weren't we, earlier, that we could do some curling.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If we got enough friends together.
We've got enough friends.
We have only maybe one or two friends who would be willing to curl with us.
Okay. Is that what you say?
Yeah.
You want to come and curl with me?
Come and brush some ice really quickly.
Brush some ice. When you said that then, I thought in my brain box... I envisaged you brushing mice.
Brushing mice?
With a tiny little kind of wrapped comb.
That is something I do, but that's completely aside from my fitness regime.
Yeah, understandable, yeah.
I just try and groom mice.
Yeah. Do they pay you in cheese? I was wondering how you got those little blocks of Gruyere. Where are they coming from?
Well, I have like friendly mouse traps, so I trap mice. and then I keep them in a little box. Uh-huh. And then I'm like, do you remember of Mice and Men? What was his name?
George or Lenny? I think it's Lenny.
Lenny would stroke it.
John Malkovich.
Yeah, well, the book wasn't.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, I'm only about books.
But yeah, going back to the curling, like maybe we could do it next week or something.
Yeah, we just need to get some friends, so we need to go out and find some friends.
Yeah. One thing I was thinking, though, is, you know, people who do curling, say an Olympic curler.
Which one? Like the brusher or the thrower?
A curlstress?
A curlatron?
Curlatron, yeah. Do they, when they go home, do they keep curling? I mean, well, are they stood in their kitchen just, you know, vigorously brushing
away? You know their homes are going to be the cleanest.
Probably, yeah.
But it's just going to be sweeping constantly, rubbing away at every little bit of dirt.
Yeah, I'd almost feel that you could probably sweep so much that it'd be a hazard to walk around that house.
You probably
unless
you're
wearing
in.
Like suction shoes.
Yeah, well, if it's a house where you have to take off your shoes and you just got your socks on and someone's scrubbing away, getting the floor super shiny, you'll easily fall over.
Yeah, God. Well.
And do you imagine what would it be like in the house? Like that you'd come in and you'd just scrub in and then there'd be a big target on the floor.
Yeah.
As you fall in and you...
Maybe they'd be sat at their dinner table and you'd say, pass the salt, and they'd kind of slide it down. Then their children would be doing mini brushes so that the salt arrives at exactly the right spot.
If that would be impressive.
Okay. If we have any curlers listening, then can you send us in your anecdotes.
And please inform us of what curling is really about, because we obviously have no idea.
No.
But we will after a while.
Yeah. And on that point, guys, as in the movie theatre, we're going to sweep up all the leftover popcorn and, you know...
Kick
and
out that
trash.
The man who's fallen asleep.
Yeah, kick him out, yeah.
And that has been me.
Yeah, no, there's actually someone else in the room with us right now.
Imagine if there was.
Ooh.
The person who lives next door.
What, it's Morgan Freeman, my imaginary friend.
Yeah, I was going to talk about Zara, actually. We might be keeping her awake. As it is 1 o'clock in the morning now. It's dedication, guys.
Okay, so that's Bonne Nuit from Tom and I. I hope you've enjoyed this episode about films, and next week we'll be doing something on part two of our media special.
Mm.
We'll be doing about music, and maybe some other media sources might creep in there.
Yeah, hopefully. So now we're on track for weekly podcasts, one every week hopefully now for a couple of months. If you want to contact us or just let us know anything that you have on your brains, contact us at...
Pardon My French Podcast @gmail.com
or get us on Facebook, just search Pardon My French. And if you already have liked our page, just go check it now and then, because it doesn't seem to want to tell you about our new cool stuff that we're posting on it.
Exactly. So from Tom and I here in Switzerland, à la prochaine.